This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
And Brook Wire, you are it. And Brooke, you are.
Styled by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Let the fire!
All right, good morning. Hi, everybody. It is the Brock and Salk Show on Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com, the Seattle Sports app. Make sure you download that thing. And yes, all the podcast platforms. Plus, we're all over YouTube. You got to get to the YouTube channel today. That's where it's all going down a little bit later. It's a big, big day here in the show.
Yeah. Nice uniform game day. Game day Rawls today.
That's right. It's game day Rawls today. Get that nice new uniform
game
on.
Game day Rawls today.
Thank you, Thomas. Yes. Game day Rawls. It's draft day. It's race day. It's rubber match in Texas day. It's a big old day.
It's my sister's birthday today, too.
Who is this voice that speaks as if I want to hear what she has to say this morning? Oh, it's Maura. Good morning, Maura. How are you? Are you ready?
That was catty.
I know. Yeah. Well, hey, it's mental warfare today.
I walked in today and you brought me a coffee and I'm trying to figure out if this is sportsmanship or if you poisoned it.
Well, that's part of the plan here. Keep you on your toes all day long. Yeah. Like, this is going to be like Wedding Crashers. You're going to be calling SAC later, trying to figure out how to find out some more information on my past and what I was able to do. We're ready. Game day today. First of all, for the race. Weather's not looking tremendous. Yeah. Any thought to whether or not we're racing in the pouring rain? How do you feel about that?
I mean, it wouldn't have been my ideal, but I'm not going to.
But you're good either way.
Call it off.
Okay. Just wanted to see like whether you wanted to postpone. I was just leaving it out there for you in case the.
Do you?
No. I mean, I hate the rain, but I think it's fine. I think that, in fact, I think it may give me an advantage. I was thinking about it a little bit. Yeah. I was trying to do some handicapping last night and I was thinking about the rain. Now, on one hand, I hate the rain. I hate it. I hate the cold. I hate the rain. And it's really more the cold than the rain, I guess, today that I'm upset about. My ears don't handle it well if I have to run a long distance in the cold. My hands get very cold. I have bad circulation in my hands. So the cold in general should be a huge advantage for Maura because I'm such a wuss. I mean, I'm like the world's biggest candy when it comes to the rain.
Probably right behind you. I'm not great with it either.
I hate it. Moore and I, of course, both growing up in the Northeast, and we have moved, as you will notice, pretty far away from there because we do not like the cold. We don't like it. We're out. So I think that would actually be an advantage for you, the cold. However, and this is important for those of you betting at home today. Bump was mentioning yesterday.
By the way, we did get a text yesterday from someone that said they have a family pool going.
Oh, as they should. And I'm sure, based on what I heard from Justin, because we'll get to that in a moment, that my odds are not great, and that's fine. Because I appreciate that. Maura, what you should know is what Bump said yesterday. And Bump came in, former sprinter, high school sprinter, varsity sprinter, a man of tremendous integrity and unbelievable skill and experience. And Bump said, hey, it's a longer race than you think.
Yeah.
And so I started kind of thinking about the implications of the heat versus the cold. And if Maura's big advantage in this race is her endurance, whereas mine is, well, I'm not even going to tell you what mine is, and some of you don't think I have one.
That's my advantage in endurance running. I don't think I have it. I don't know if I have an advantage in this race.
Well, that's sort of the point. Like, the endurance here, because there's no heat, it should be easier for somebody who's not in as good a shape, like me, to run a little bit faster than normal because I'm not going to be
overheating.
And unlike a dog, I just can't pant my way out of it. So that's
Wow, you've really been up at night thinking about this. Huh?
I barely slept last night. Yeah, no, this was all I've been thinking about for about the last 24 hours.
I got a good sleep.
Oh, you did?
Sleep, yeah.
Oh, that must have been nice. I got like 4 hours. So I'm glad to hear that you're well rested.
I mean, it's not my fault if you didn't prep for game day.
Well, I tried to prep, but I had one of those, like, you ever watch a movie that has a good montage scene? I had like a movie montage playing in my head last night, fueled by all the hate that I was getting from around the building, from all of you out there in the text and Twitter world. You guys just taking shots? So let me just understand. Justin, you walked around this building yesterday and asked, I don't know, 10 people or so,
who they thought was going to win the race, and I ended up with negative points to Mora's 10 or 12. How's that even possible?
How that works. I don't know. I'm not very good at math, but I just know that you didn't get enough support to get into the positive points.
Hmm. That seems like a problem.
Yeah.
Somehow Schneider was given two negatives.
It's John Schneider's fault. I know.
Hmm. Well, I'm just going to say this.
He carries more weight. It's his big day for him today.
All I need to say today is this. Today's a big day for John.
He's got
to
get it right.
Hey, John. Message to you from me at 6:05 this morning. I hope you do better on your draft than you did in picking who's going to win this race today, because you clearly have not been watching your film, the all 22s, when it comes to watching me scoot around that track. So that's all I got to say. Salk, we all must know who your girls are rooting for. I'm glad you asked. Thank you, 206. Good question. Avery left yesterday morning, so she did not have any time to change her mind. When Avery left, she said very clearly she was rooting for me to win the race, which was great. Thank you, Avery.
Good
appreciate
support,
you.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, Cecily, as you know, a bit of a wild card. She's been back and forth. She's the one who wanted Bruin, Mora's dog, and Gertie, my puppy, to race, which would have been a terrible idea. Gertie can barely, I mean, first of all, she turns cockeyed when she runs, kind of diagonal. I mean, she's a puppy. She don't know what she's doing.
Bruin's an athlete.
Bruin is an athlete. Gertie's a Frenchie. She didn't have a chance. So that we wiped that idea out. So then Cecily said she was rooting for me. Now, last night, she said, hey, did you guys ever figure out the charity element of it? She said she didn't want me to lose because she didn't want me to have to spend any money.
Oh, okay.
Which is, I thought, made some sense. I thought that made some sense. A very nice gesture on Cecily's part. I know. It's very, well, probably selfishly. If dad spends money on charity, then he can't buy me something that I need, I'm sure is what she was thinking. But whatever. Generally, chocolate's the only thing on her mind. So I said, no, don't worry about that. That's fine. I said, yeah, I've chosen this Baseball Beyond Borders thing. She's like, oh, did Mora finally choose a charity? Now, bear in mind that the kids have both taken advantage of the charity that Mora chose. Mora, yesterday you told me that you're going with...
Yeah, I didn't know your girls had used this, but I was looking for a local organization that kind of supports girls in sports, and I found Girls on the Run, Puget Sound.
So, first of all, incredible organization, and if by some freak of nature, probably blamed on the rain, I do end up losing today... I couldn't be more proud to donate to Girls on the Run, which is an awesome organization. Both my kids did it. And I told you, I ran a 5K with Cecily last week. A lot, and Avery did it as well. A lot of that is because of Girls on the Run. And it really helped with confidence. It was an awesome, awesome program. And I couldn't be fantastic choice.
That's
so
great.
I tell Cecily.
I feel like
yesterday,
I would not have had friends in high school if I didn't run track.
That doesn't surprise me.
Get involved in something. I was very quiet and shy.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I'm surprised you had friends at all.
Thank you.
I'm still surprised you have friends.
Wow,
just wait
okay.
till you know. Anyway,
talk getting serious
I'm just trying to throw more off our game
I think
today.
This is important. Good.
I'm going back and forth between being really nice and really mean all day to try to throw Mora off her game so she never knows where I'm coming from. Anyway, I tell Cecily last night that you chose Girls on the Run, and she's like, oh, I'm rooting for Mora. So she changed her mind. That's all it took. Like, in the last moment, she changed her mind to go to root for you. So that's where my kids are at. 346 says, I'll put $100 on Salk, falling straight in his butt before getting halfway through the race. You think I'm going to fall over running 200 meters? All right. I appreciate
that. The big race.
Oh, the big race. Oh, yes, yes.
Thank you, Jerry and
George. You act so offended, but I told you I think part of the reason people believe all this stuff is because of the way you speak about yourself on the air. So they think that you would actually fall on your face running because you don't like...
Yeah, you painted
you
yourself into
paint
that
a
corner.
Picture.
That,
okay,
yeah.
Well, that's fine. I appreciate the doubt, much like my good friend and confidant.
Yeah, I remember that day.
Richard Sherman, I will be using all of your hate, all of your negativity, all of your doubt, and turning it into hot fire when I get myself onto that starting block. Mora, you're going to have no idea what is cruising past you on the way to the big win today. All right, coming up next, we'll give you guys everything you need to know, because not only is it race day, but it is draft day, and the mocks are done. The hay is in the barn, as Brock likes to say, and the only thing left to do is pick a new Seahawk. It's coming up next on Brock and Salk.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know.
up first.
Draft day, it is finally here after all of the talk and the discussion and the mocks and this and that. We'll finally get to see what the future of the Seahawks will look like as they are set to pick tonight at number 16. Is it likely they move up? No, so let's not even talk about that. But there's still plenty of options available to them at 16. They could trade back and try to add some more value. What do I want them to do? I hope they draft Jared Verse. That's the guy I think I would be. That's what I want them to do. That description of a rugged, tough, physical leader who can set an edge, rush the passer as well. That is just too enticing for me. I want them to draft Jared Verse. They probably should draft Troy Faltano, though. That would be the best decision for the Seahawks. The hit rate is high for offensive line. That really stood out to me yesterday as we were reading through that Paul Hembekides thing that he did for Greenberg's show and showed that the three positions most likely to work out are offensive tackle, offensive guard, and center. It's like, well, that's a pretty enticing thing. And oh, by the way, you really need the help there. So what should they do? They should probably draft Troy Faltano, although I am a little concerned, I guess, about the Albert Breer report that he has been flagged for some medical issues with his knee long term. What would I be most excited about? I think like anybody, it's a quarterback. How could you not be? Anytime your team drafts a quarterback in the first round, you are obligated morally and perhaps even legally as a fan to be excited about it. That's the rules. It's a quarterback. It's a potential changer for your entire franchise. So if they go in that direction, I won't be able to help it. I will be incredibly excited. Could it be Michael Penix? He seems the most likely option based on the way this draft appears. He was on with Rich Eisen yesterday talking about the Players Tribune piece that he penned earlier this week.
Yeah, because I mean, for me, it's just like all you see for me is just me going out just playing football. You know, you see me going out on the field, make plays with my team, you know, us winning games, stuff like that. But you know, not everybody see or can hear or truly know my story, you know, things I've been through to get to this point. So I feel like to be able to do that, you know, put that out there so people can kind of step foot into my shoes and get a feel for, you know, just my side of the story. You know, I wanted to write my own narrative and, you know, be able to put that out so other people can kind of get a feel for that. And I felt the need to do that.
Yeah, that is just going to be the name I'm going to be following all night long. Where does Penix end up? If it's not here in Seattle, I would like him to be far away, not in this division, because I really do love the way he throws the ball. I think he's a good leader. I think there's a lot to Michael Penix in his future in the NFL. Anyway, there's a lot of other fun options, Latu and Byron Murphy and a whole bunch of others. What are they most likely to do? Trade back. Although I did see one mock where they traded back to 20 and still ended up with Troy Faltano. You do something like that, and I think there's going to be a lot of people throwing a big old A-plus the direction of John Schneider.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Not the night anybody was hoping for in Texas last night. The Rangers just teed off, and the Mariners' offense took the night off. Bryce Miller did not make it out of the fifth, gave up a couple of solo shots, and just never really had great command all night.
I feel like today, like, I didn't mix the two fastballs really well. I think the last few games, I've done a better job at that. The pitch to Garcia, I think, was, like, in a vacuum, a good pitch, but just I had already thrown him like four sinkers at bat, so he got to me. But it's just like I said, a weird game. I didn't get very many ground balls, so that doesn't really help trying to get through quick innings. But just gotta be a little more competitive, be in better counts, mix the fastballs better, and just get ahead.
Good on him. I like the way he handles it. Pretty honest about how, you know, who he reminds me of. A golfer. Brock will talk about that. He kind of reminds me of a pro golfer. And by the way, all of the best golfers right now are from Texas as well. Kind of Scottie Scheffler and the rest of that crew. But just think about when they interview those guys after the round and they're like, yeah, I missed the shot on 12 and I just wasn't striking the ball very well today. Now on 16, I hit a really good shot. That's kind of how he is. It's just like, yeah, my slider was working today. Or yeah, my splitter didn't work. I didn't mix my pitch as well. Just very matter of fact about what he did in that game. And yeah, obviously last night, not good enough. The real problem though was the offense. After the first inning, they did jack squat. Rojas had a triple, and then after that, 14 Ks, 1 for 11 with runners in scoring position. That is obviously not gonna get it done.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
A couple of little
little concerns for the Mariners was two key players were unavailable last night. For Cal Raleigh, hopefully nothing major. He needed emergency dental surgery yesterday. Probably was going to get a day off either last night or today anyway. So he gets it last night, and hopefully he'll be back out there for the season finale, or for the series finale, rather, later today, which is the plan. Now, J.P. Crawford, that one's maybe a little bit more concerning. He was a late scratch, went through warm-ups, but then was scratched with a sore right oblique. Here's Scott Servais.
Yeah, we don't know yet. We'll find out no more in the morning where that's at. He felt something in batting practice right away. Tried to calm it down. The strength was good and stuff, but we don't know yet. We've got to get MRI, take a look at that. We'll know more in the morning.
I don't like that. I don't like that. Not at all. I don't like obliques either. They're in the hand, wrist, thumb, finger category for me because they linger. I don't like injuries that linger. You know what I mean? Give me a good old injury that lasts for a set amount of time and then it's over. I don't like obliques because they seem to bother guys for a while afterwards.
Core, yeah.
I don't care for that. Yeah, not good news. One more in Texas today. Luis Castillo and Andrew Heaney will go in the finale, rubber match, however you want to refer to it. And then last thing here, this is from Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet. This little Kraken thought as we're waiting to find out what the future is of their coaching staff. He does not think Dave Haxtell is going to be around much longer.
You want to know what my theory is?
Okay, what's that?
My theory is they're thinking about Dan Bylsma,
who coaches in Coachella Valley, the AHL affiliate for the Seattle Kraken.
That's my theory.
You're going to have a lot of players from Coachella Valley start to populate that Kraken roster.
That's what I'm wondering, and it's my opinion, it's my theory, and also there is a connection. Jason Botterill,
yep.
Pittsburgh Penguins. Dan Bylsma, mm-hmm. Pittsburgh Penguins. I could be wrong. That's what my spidey senses tell me.
Been around for a while, coached in Pittsburgh for a good while. I was in Buffalo as the head coach as well. And he's been with the organization for the last few years. So keep your eye on it. See whether or not the Kraken end up making a move. That is everything you need to know. Quarter past every hour here on the Brock and Salk Show. All right. If I seem a little jittery, I did have some caffeine this morning. Rare for me. So if I'm a little all over the place, you'll know why. But
not the nerves, though.
No, it's not the nerves. Nerves of steel over here. I have no issue with the nerves. 206 asks, did Bryce Miller get Justined? Yes.
Oh, he did.
Now, the Mariners oddly did have a Justin themselves last night. Mm-hmm. It didn't really work out.
No, they just got pitch count up. They didn't really beat him up.
They didn't do anything else. Yeah. But they did. Give them credit. They did score another Justin. Unfortunately, the relievers came in and completely shut the door. So it didn't really help a whole lot. But I will... that's another Justin for the Mariners offense. Which
before you miss it, a quality start kill by the offense.
They got both. Well, it's both.
Yes, yeah, quality start kill and chase him before he even had the chance to go six.
By the way, I should tell you, Justin, that our segment yesterday where we explained what the Justin is... Mm-hmm. Right, trying to track how often an offense gets the pitcher out before the start of the sixth inning. Mm-hmm. And it was overheard by some folks at the Mariners, I'm told. Excellent. And that there is already some work being done on making the Justin an official stat. So we'll see where this goes.
I wanted the scorebook. Yeah, so I need to have it in the scorebook.
You utter these things on this show, they go out into the universe, and the next thing you know, you're racing at Husky Track today. So that's how things go when you're
on the race is on.
That's right, race is on. Later today, Moore and I are getting it going. All right, coming up, Michael Bumpus is part of the big Seattle sports broadcast today. You'll hear his incredibly wrong thoughts on the draft coming up next. It's Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710. Michael Bumpus is on his way in. You guys are going to be working together a little bit here over the weekend tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Not even the weekend, Saul. You get the weekend. The draft Knicks get the weekend.
Doesn't it feel like it should be Thursday already? Like, I woke up this morning pretty darn convinced that today was Thursday, but it's not. We don't have draft day until tomorrow. So, Bump, I've worked with Bump for the draft, by the way. Mm-hmm. Have you ever worked with Bump on the draft?
No.
All right, so here's what you should know. A couple years ago, 2 years ago, it was a Saturday, and I went in for the morning shift. That's my shift. I mean, everyone knows I'm kind of a draft Nick. Right. I know the guys deep in the draft, so everybody wants to put me on like Saturday morning to really talk through the
watch 20 hours of college football every Saturday during the season.
I do watch 20 hours of college football every year. That's right. And so I'm ready for the draft. I watch the, all 22s, the whole thing. Jokes aside. I'm sitting there with Bump a couple of years ago, and we're waiting on the draft, and the Seahawks have, what was that? It must have been a fifth-round pick, right? They draft some rando named Tariq Woolen. Nobody knows how to pronounce a name, and Bump's like, this is the guy. He's like, I've been watching film on this dude. He's unbelievable. He's out of a small school. Wait till you see him. He's going to be awesome. Yeah, Bump was on top of Tariq Woolen. He knew all about Kobe Bryant. Working with him that day, seriously, jokes aside, he actually knew all that stuff, and it was awesome. So you are very lucky to get to work with Bump tomorrow, and he's joining us right now. What's up, dude?
What up? Thanks for the gas, man. Fill me up early in the morning. I appreciate that.
I've been impressed ever since. I'd never been impressed with you until that moment.
Bump, have you ever worked with the two old man Muppets we're going to work with tomorrow night?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you know, I've been around the block a couple times with those guys, so okay. I'm ready to go. I'm excited to work with you, though, man. The voice, the Saturday, UFL, NFL, NCAA, you do it all, man.
You lead with UFL, huh?
Yeah, you know.
That's an interesting lead.
It's in season.
You're leading with the UFL?
It's in season.
All right, I mean... I guess you're building up strong to the
Bump, I feel like you and I are going to look at each other a lot. We're going to be on the outside. Bob and Dave will be sitting on the inside.
Yeah.
And you and I are just going to be like locked in gaze. We're going to be talking. We're going to be energized. And Wyman and Bob are going to look at us like, what is wrong with you two? What is seriously wrong with you two guys? But I think that affection for college football, Wyman has it as well. Been listening to his draft profiles. Big picture before we get to the nitty gritty on some of these guys. Just big picture, this draft for you compared to covering previous ones, where does this one sit?
This one is, I'm the most intrigued in a different way because there's a lot going on, right? We get to see what the influence Mike McDonald is going to have on the draft. But most importantly, John Schneider, I said this yesterday on our show. I go, he's in the cockpit by himself. Now, Mike McDonald is there. He's in first class. You know, he gets to meet the pilot before and after the flight and maybe even knock on the door and have a few words during the flight. But this is John Schneider's show, and I'm excited to see what direction he puts it. 14 years, they've only drafted two quarterbacks. We know he wants to draft a quarterback. So now I'm looking at 16. I'm like, are you going to do it? You going to roll the dice at 16? Or are you going to wait until the later rounds in the draft and get a quarterback? Are you going to go offensive line? It's a big moment for this organization, man. I'm excited.
All right, so let's just answer the question. Give me I want to hear a one name right now. Number 16 rolls around, and all of these players are available. It's impossible because some of them will have had to go, but this is more of about what you would like. Michael Penix is there.
Mm-hmm.
Troy Faltano is there. Byron Murphy is there.
Mm.
Jared Verse is there. Latu is there. I'll give you those five.
All right.
Who are you taking?
See...
What do you mean, C?
That's the tough part.
You have to start with giving me a name. All that's the rules of the game.
I'm going to walk you through it first, my thought process at least, okay? I'm looking at this team and I go, who has to lead the charge on this team this year? It has to be the offense. The defense is under mass construction. I get that. There's some pieces there already. But I look at the offense and I go, you guys got to come out ready to go. You can't let the defense hold you down and then you find your footing. No, offense has to go. Last year, Geno took, 10 less sacks than he did the year before. People forget that about Geno. They're like, oh, Geno holds on to the football. He doesn't do this and that. Yeah, he might hold on to the football. Watch the all 22. You'll see that safety rolling down to that robber spot. You'll see a linebacker dropping into space. There's a reason why he held the football. So I'm looking at the offense and I go, you have to get better on offense right now. Defense, I feel like you can find the diamonds in the roughs like the Tariq Woolens, like the Kobe Bryant, even though he won a diamond in the rough. He didn't get the love he deserves. But you can find just dogs on defense later in the rounds, later in the draft, and get those guys going. So I'm going Troy Faltano off top. When's the last time this team has been at its best? Is when that offensive line is solidified. Yes, the Legion of Boom, you can point at that. I get it. You'll never see Legion of Boom again, folks. It will never happen in Seattle again. You will not get a top 10 defense of all time. The times have changed. The game has changed. It's an offensive game. They take care of the offense. They take care of the quarterbacks. They take care of the receivers. Protect your quarterback. All those guys are worthy. I love Latu. He's probably my favorite out of those guys, but I'm going Troy Faltano.
A little side note, something I've learned because I fly quite a bit. Thank your pilot when you get a soft landing because more than likely they're an Air Force pilot. I've learned that.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. If you get a soft landing, and I don't think that's just a hubris and arrogant thing out of the Air Force guys, but I've kind of learned through the years that the softer landing.
I'm going to tell that to my buddy guys. Chris, who flew Harriers in the Navy for the Marines.
You sure?
And he will tell you he feels very differently about the
really?
Air Force pilots.
866-979-3776.
Right. So
866-979-3776.
So you're saying they couldn't have been a Marine or
better
Navy pilot.
Air Force or Navy, better pilot. Wow. Just go hit. Yeah, let's hit that sucker out.
That's definitely a war. A
bump. Outside of Faltanu, take him off the board. All the other Huskies, your favorite Husky that's going to get drafted?
Oh, my favorite is Rome. Come on, you know I'm a receiver guy. And yes. Me personally, I've been met with a lot of pushback with this. I think he's the best receiver in this draft. And that's a lot coming from me. I'm a Coug, but I'm also a realist. I watched the film. I think Marvin Harrison is sharp. I think the offense he was in allowed him to display a lot more of his route running. You look at what UW asked Roman Dunza to do. It was like, look, man, one-on-one, go over the top. Let's run a rub route. We're going to beat him. Penix is going to throw you the football. You go ahead and track him. But when you really look at the film, you break things down. I think Rome's the best receiver in this league. I think Neighbors is a heck of an athlete. I think Brian Thomas is a heck of an athlete. I think Marvin has the pedigree, and naturally he's going to get the nod. But I look at Roman Dunza, and I think at the end of the day, it's about catching the football. Brock, and you know this. In the NFL, there are some guys who run some sloppy you-know-what routes. Sloppy. But they get to the spot. And for some reason, it works for them. I don't think Rome is that, but I think because of what he can do with just catching the football, once he's really allowed to show his route running and be the complete receiver, people will see what I'm seeing. But, I mean, goodness gracious, he's going to go, what, top 15? He ain't going nowhere.
Mm-mm.
You guys had a good debate this week about pressure. Right. About who's got the most pressure on them, whether it's John Schneider or Mike McDonald. I found myself thinking about it a lot, trying to figure out how I would answer that question. And maybe there's not an easy answer to it because both of them have some amount of pressure. It's not like it's 100% on one or the other. But after thinking about it for a while, I think I fairly decisively think it's John Schneider.
Okay.
I don't know how much pressure you can realistically put on a first-year head coach who's very young, who's he's got a lot of challenges ahead of him, clearly, right? I mean, even just this last week with the stupid Picturegate thing, trying to figure out how to navigate replacing a legend like Pete Carroll, removing the basketball hoop, changing around that's hard, and it's going to rub people the wrong way. So I think he might have more challenges ahead of him than John Schneider does. But in terms of pressure, especially when you go through and read this over the cap thing that we got today about some of the problems the Seahawks have had in the draft for the last decade plus, it should be squarely on the shoulders of John Schneider in terms of pressure. This is his show.
Yeah, Stacey made some good points when it comes to why Mike McDonald will have the pressure. And her point was that that's the easy route. That's what people are going to say. That's what the national media is going to say. That's what fans are going to say. What is Mike McDonald doing? But because he's 36 years old, first-time head coach. Because you have a first-year offensive coordinator, first-year defensive coordinator, whole bunch of rookies on that staff offensively and defensively, who is the conductor of all of this? It's John Schneider. John Schneider said, I'm going to hire this young cat and give him a chance. John Schneider has had his hands all over the hiring process, and John Schneider has to make the picks with Mike McDonald's influence, of course, but John has to make the picks to equip this young man with all of the weapons. And if you think Mike McDonald is going to come in here and these guys are going to win 12 or 13 games, then I would love to live life through the lens that you see that thing in, because I just don't see it happen. And that's not a bad thing, because you got to crawl before you walk. It takes time. Mike McDonald needs to be supported. That's John Schneider's job. And I'm excited for John because I think he can do it. But, it has to be John Schneider. I think once the season starts and you want to look at the tabloids and then the headlines and all that stuff, they're going to point to Mike McDonald. But if you dig deeper, if you're not just surface level type stuff, you understand that it's the guy upstairs making the decision that has to support this man. Therefore, the pressure is on him. Mike McDonald will take all the bullets, though.
Lucky him.
Yeah.
So with all that said, Bump, tomorrow night when we're sitting down there at the VMAC and you and me and Wyman and Bob covering all these picks in this draft, do you think it looks and feels differently with Mike McDonald sitting next to John than it did with Pete for 14 years?
Oh, yeah, it has to, right? I mean, you want it to. if we wanted the same thing, then bring Pete Carroll back and let's do it all again. You want it to be different. And this is the maturation of John Schneider. John's a grown man. I love John. I'm not taking nothing away from him. But he's always had his homie, you know, to the right of him. And they're going back and forth and they got this relationship. So now he leaves home like I did Culver City, 20 years ago? And I never returned. I'm still here in Washington, right? Now it's time to go out and be your own person. I think John has always been that, but always with the help and influence of Pete Carroll. So it has to be different. I think Mike McDonald should defer to John Schneider. I think John should take the lead on this. And that's what's going to happen. And that's what should happen. We want change here. Everyone, Jody wanted change. John wanted change. That's why Pete is gone. It better feel different.
Okay, so we spend 90% of our time talking about just the 10%, that first round, right? We spend so much time talking about 16 and trading down and all these prospects. But when it's said and done on Saturday, when Mora closes it out with C. Rodge, right? And right after Stacy and Salk Saturday morning, and you've got the whole group in totality, what do you want this draft class to look like?
I want it to look like the needs were met. So I'm looking at the offensive line. By the way, I love how they're building this roster. 1 year deal, go ahead and prove it, man. We believe in you, but you got to prove it. But I need that offensive line solidified. I need a rookie that is coming in to compete for a starting spot, not just a guy that you're trying to develop. I think that was Ola with Timmy last year, right? You bring him in, we'll see what happens, see how he develops. Defensively, I think you need bodies on that defensive line. There's going to be a rotation. I would love to have an Aaron Donald or Chris Jones, another Leonard Williams type of guy.
A Byron Murphy.
A Byron Murphy, yes.
A Jared First.
Exactly.
I mean, you can get one of those if you want them. You already want to ignore that.
You could get one of those if you want to.
You're like, man, I don't care about
defense. You're going to get one. And that's the thing on defense, Salt. I mean, goodness, you – defense, and no disrespect to defenders out there, I think defense is necessary, okay?
No, you need it. But on defense,
those are the positions where you meet a bunch of guys that said, I ain't started playing football till 10th grade. And I got out there, and I started balling out. Because you're a raw, fierce athlete. On defense, it's all about reacting. On offense, you got to be a bit more technical.
You are rough, rugged car wreck. That's what you are.
That's what they call Jared Verse.
Yes,
That's what they call Jared Verse. Exactly. A rough, rugged car wreck.
So offensively, just make sure that offensive line is all right. On defense, man, depth. Get yourself another linebacker. Get you a defensive lineman. Even if you like a safety that's out there. I know you brought in a couple safety. If you like a safety that's out there, go ahead and get yourself another safety. I'm all about shopping at Costco on defense and then shopping at Nordstrom's on offense. You feel me? Like, get yourself what you need. The expensive piece on offense, on defense. Go to Costco and buy in bulk.
Interesting. Number one item at Costco? What's your number one? Are you a Costco guy, Bob?
Well, my wife does the shopping. Thank you, babe. I appreciate you. Because Costco is my nightmare. I cannot stand
it. You can't go in there.
There's just too many people, man.
She buy your clothes, too? You go to Nordstrom yourself? Or does she buy your clothes?
She hooks me up. So I go to work.
You don't
work.
Do any of that.
I go to work. I take the kids to practice. I make dinner when I can. She is the conductor of this whole situation over here.
Maestro.
Hey, your partner, Stacy. I can't
big Costco shopper.
I can't believe what she's doing. She's gone online. She's taken to Twitter or X or whatever the heck you call it, and has put out a poll just in the last 10 minutes.
Okay.
Saying, for the life of me, I still can't figure out why Salk thinks he can beat Mora in this upcoming foot race. What level of delusion would you use to categorize it? Hashtag pray for Salk. Light delusion, moderate delusion, high delusion, or concerning delusion? Bump, didn't you run track?
I did.
A nine sport varsity athlete,
I did,
right?
I did several things.
You ever run a 200?
Yes.
All right. What can you tell us about it? Maura, don't listen. What kind of advice can you give me on the 200?
Run your race. If y'all were running like an indoor 60, I might give you a chance. But because you're running a 200,
yeah,
it's
wow.
200, like she more as well, like 5'9", 5'10".
She's 5'10".
5'10". She's got that nice little stride.
I'm 5'10".
You seem like
you're the same height.
You're built for explosiveness.
Yes.
She's built for the long run.
No doubt. 200 and in a 400, run, no chance.
200, once you get around 110 meters, man, them legs are going to get heavy. That head's going to tilt back. I'm telling you.
So you think that I could take her up to about 100, but at 200, no chance?
I give you up to 80.
Up 80 to 80? Meters. So you 80 think I'd meters. Lose 100?
80 meters.
Wow. I am horrified. Horrified by this. Okay.
I know that she runs. Like she runs. When's the last time you opened up and ran your fastest?
3 days ago.
3 days ago.
Oh, you've been training for this.
Well, I trained once.
Okay.
I went out to the track and ran a 200.
How did that feel?
It felt fine, actually.
Did you get a time on it?
I do, yeah, but I'm not going to reveal my time. I can't, you know, I don't want to give her an advantage and let her know how fast she's going to run.
And how hard was it? It was hard. 200 is tough.
It's not that hard. Man. 400 is tough. 200's not that tough.
Okay, I respect you then.
Now, look, I wasn't all out freaking Michael Johnson running that thing in 19 seconds.
You were 58, 57 seconds?
Yeah, I was in the 50s. That's not a problem, is it?
I'm interested, though. I'm, you know what, I hope, you know, I don't hope. I hope everyone just has fun.
You hope everybody doesn't get hurt.
Exactly, makes it out safely.
Have we inquired about the ambulance? Will there be an ambulance following us like they do with the horse race? Will we have an ambulance on the track ready to pick somebody
just
up
buzzards,
at a moment's
I think,
notice?
Mostly,
oh, buzzards! Yeah, that sounds even better. All right,
Bubba, by the way, Stacey, Brock, yes, 3-1 Navy over Air Force on your little poll.
God, that sounds about right. They got to land on little aircraft carriers, man. They don't. I mean, Navy's going to dominate that thing. Bump. Thank you. Bump and Stacy coming up later today. Right, what you guys got today?
Man, whole bunch of stuff. Obviously, we're talking draft. Heavy draft. We got the Mariners who finally got a win in Arlington last night. Big ups, Cal, and everybody else getting that going. Logan looking like a beast.
I thought you were
going to
say, I don't know, man. Curtis takes all care of all that. My wife takes care of all the shopping. I just show up and do what everybody tells me when it's all said and done.
Hey, what's the play, coach?
What's
the
play?
I got you. I'll get open.
Well, I'll tell you what. Bump knew his stuff a couple of years ago, and something tells me he'll be ready to go tomorrow afternoon as well, along with Wyman and Bob and Brock. That is the draft coverage scene here on Seattle Sports. Going to be fun. Always is. And that is a great crew. By the way, Wyman's going to join us at 9:30 this morning, and we'll get a sense from him what he would like. I was sort of teasing Bump and saying they had the wrong take. I don't know about that whole Costco Nordstrom thing. I appreciate the analogy. I appreciate the local company shout outs and all of that. There are pretty good opportunities here, and your defense is still what it is you're trying to be great at, right? I mean, like, if you want to be a hard-nosed, physical defensive team, I still think there's a lot of opportunity to do that on the defensive side of the ball. And, yeah, if I'm the Seahawks, I got no issues with them going defense as long as it's up front in the first round of this draft. And if they go on the offensive line, that would certainly be great as well.
We were talking about this yesterday. It's like all the time you hear about like what Pete said they wanted to be and what they wanted to do. And it's like, but they never just went all in and did that.
That's exactly right.
Will this now be, will that happen?
Well, that's a little preview of what we're going to be talking about at 7 o'clock. That is what is coming up here in about 15 minutes.
Right.
That exactly.
Right.
Let me spend a couple of minutes on the Mariners. Because we're not going to have a lot of Mariner time today. Brock will be in a few minutes. And then after that, it's going to be all race coverage and a little bit of draft thrown in. No, just kidding. It's going to be all draft coverage with a little bit of race coverage thrown in as well. But give me just like 5 minutes here to talk Mariners, because I just, first of all, cracks me up the moment the Mariners have a bad game and I see like, oh, see, this offense stinks. It's like, yeah, maybe it does. But like over the last 10, 12 games, their offense has been awesome. Seriously. They've been scoring 15, 17 runs a series. They've been knocking starting pitchers out. They've been doing everything you want an offense to do, and last night they didn't do it. That's okay. I mean, it stinks to watch. Like, last night, I was like, oh, over. And I knew that game was over early, as did everybody else. Like, yeah, they're not going to do it tonight. It just sort of had that feel. But that doesn't mean it's going to last for the next week, the next game, or the next month. I mean, like, that's just not how it is. So, look, bad game, move on, try to get him today. Fine. I did hear this yesterday, though, and I wanted to respond to it. I think this was a question from Wyman and Bob, who had Mike Blowers on, and love with, you know, interviews with Blow are great. He's a really interesting baseball mind, and I love the way he thinks through the game. And he was asked about the platoon at third base, right? Because Rojas has been your best hitter, right, through the first month of this season. He's been awesome. He's not necessarily hitting for a lot of power, but you've seen some doubles and triples. He's getting on base. He leads the team both in batting average and in on-base percentage. You move him up to the leadoff spot last night. Immediately, he hits a triple to start the game off right? I mean, like, he's really and by the way, the defense has been spectacular, honestly, at third base recently. So should they eliminate the platoon and just play Josh Rojas every day? Well, here's Mike Blowers.
I think for me right now, you have to let the thing play out. This is what you were committed to when you went into spring training. You have a couple of guys over there and a lefty-righty. platoon situation, basically. And I think you have to give it more time and let it play out. And eventually those things seem to work themselves out. Arias is off to a little bit of a slower start. If he doesn't get it going, then maybe do something like that. But right now, I think it's important also for Rojas to keep his confidence up. And just, I think right now with where they're at, I think they're going to let that play out for a while before they make any changes there.
All right, so good answer. I would even go a step further, and this is a conversation I know we've had before on the show, but I think it's a good time to kind of remind ourselves of it. Sometimes a platoon player is having success because of the situation they're being put in. That doesn't mean that success will translate to being put into other situations. I don't know if that is true of Josh Rojas. Maybe we're watching the first month of a breakout season where he becomes a premier third baseman and an on-base machine. That's possible. What is more likely is that he's having success because of the matchups that have been handpicked for him. And I know people get driven crazy with analytics and they play the numbers too much and this and that. And it's easy to point at it when it doesn't work. But this could be an example of where it's working. They are specifically seeking out matchups that play to his strengths. And when Josh Rojas gets in the game in those moments, he's having tremendous success. But he's not being asked to hit against tough left-handed pitching. And especially for lefties, that can be an incredibly tricky situation. I remember a player here, and I hate saying his name, but he was a really good hitter from the left side of the plate, Seth Smith. Worst name to say as a professional broadcaster ever.
It's rough.
I mean, just rough. It's just like it's a lisp waiting to happen. But Seth was a really good professional hitter against righties, and he was an abject disaster against lefties. And I'll never forget, it was an opening day. Smith had like two hits early, a triple and a double, right? And then whoever it was it Scott or whoever preceded? I don't even remember who was the manager at the time. Pinch hit for him in the late innings because they brought in a lefty. People were like, what an idiot. That guy had two hits. You're like, yeah, against righties because he's good at that. He's not good at the other thing. You got to put guys in a position to succeed. I think that was Lloyd, actually. I think that was a Lloyd McClendon move.
He was with the Mariners 2015 and 16.
Yeah, so that sounds like Lloyd-ish, right? Anyway, the point being, maybe Rojas will end up being a breakout candidate this year. That would be awesome. What's more likely, though, is that they're doing a great job of putting him in a position to succeed. And as the lefty part of the platoon, he's going to get a lot more at-bats than the righty anyway. So don't worry about it. It seems like a really good situation and allow it to just play its way out, which is exactly what Blauer said. So good stuff. All right. Back to the draft. Justin, thank you for setting up what I want to talk about next, because today is the day. Today is the day. The Seahawks make good on all the talk. Today is their first opportunity to truly put their money where their mouth is and do what they tell us they want to do. That's next on Brock and Salk.